carbon dioxide levels have jumped 120%, and surface air temperatures in the northern hemisphere are now about 1 Celsius above 1951 to 80 average. Warming of surface air temperatures since 1965 mostly explains the trend of mass loss from our monitored glaciers, looked at another way. Each year, the global temperature is about 1 Celsius above the 1951 to 80 average. Those monitored glaciers lose, on average, about 0.8 meters of water equivalent depth. In particular, glacier mass loss over the past two decades in Western North America has accelerated, with losses in the past decade that were 4 times greater than the decade before. This acceleration coincides with warm, dry conditions over some of the region's largest ice fields, namely those in southern coast mountains of British Columbia. Although heightened glacier mass loss coincides with continued warming, accelerated mass loss may be driven by other factors such as changes to how reflective the ice and snow surfaces are to incoming solar energy. Debris, dust, and black carbon from wildfires or fossil fuel consumption can darken snow and ice surfaces, allowing them to absorb more solar energy, thereby enhancing melt. Warm, dry summers often favor wildlife activity and lead to pronounced darkening of snow and ice surfaces and more melt. Warm temperatures also allow snow grains to become less reflective, lowering the snow reflectivity and thereby enhancing melt. Glacier mass balance is the direct response of meteorological conditions during the year, but it takes time for glaciers to adjust their dimensions. Even if temperatures were to remain stable for the next several decades, glaciers would continue to lose and shrink simply because they have not had sufficient time to adjust to present-day climate. A modeling study in 2011, for example, showed that Alberta glaciers would lose 31-40% of their volume even if temperatures stopped increasing immediately. A more recent study reveals nearly complete deglaciation in mid to southern areas of British Columbia and Alberta, even under moderate future emission scenarios. Neither of these earlier projection studies take into account the most recent collection of global climate model experiments from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's 6th assessment report. The scientific community is currently using these scenarios to update projected glacier loss for many regions, including Western North America, which will help clarify the rates and pattern of glacier loss in the decades ahead. But we should anticipate continued glacier shrinkage since glaciers remain strongly out of balance with present-day climate. Sadly, losing these frozen reservoirs will impact us in ways we are only beginning to comprehend. A lack of real progress at COP26 will seal their future fate.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. We are here with an episode of A Muslim Lady, a program about our family life, especially a role of a Muslim lady in our society, in our home. So we are here to talk about different issues. And today we are talking about the tarbiyah, the upbringing rules regarding our daughters, because Islam has given such an importance to the tarbiyah of our daughters, and we have beautiful examples in our history. So with me is my wife.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Razia Najafi is here, and I'm so glad about this program of Muslim Lady. So you said today we are going to talk about the rights and the way of upbringing of our girls and daughters, yeah?
Definitely, yeah.
And really we need it, because usually we don't get in details the differences between upbringing the boys and girls.
And first of all, unfortunately, we do not pay enough attention to upbringing our children generally, you know. Nowadays, because of the hassles of life, because of our, you know, busy schedule, especially fathers, they don't have enough time to, you know,
give enough
attention to their upbringing of their children.
Absolutely, you're right.
And secondly, and unfortunately, specifically about our daughters, you know, how much important is their upbringing in our society? It is very obvious, you know, if we upbring our daughters according to the rules of Islam, according to the tarbiyah rules, then we can have a very good society, very good family in future.
So you can, according to Islamic teachings, the girls' upbringing, and their training, the way we have to treat them, is in so many areas of life, is more important than maybe boys.
And difficult also.
Difficult also.
Because, you know, physically they have special, you know, sometimes needs. You know, we can't treat them as our boys, even in different ages. And mentally also, they are very, you know, sometimes sensitive, means emotional. They are full of love and emotions. While our sons, they are not that much maybe emotional. And
I agree.
Physically also, they have different
aspects of their life. Dear listeners, let's have a short break and we will come back very soon.
This
is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to our beautiful show of Muslim Lady. And the way you are explaining about the differences between a training of girls and boys, I remember the beautiful saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, al-mar'atu rayhana laysat biqahramana. Like girls, ladies are like a flower, you know, the flower which is full of fragrance. So we have to treat them physically and emotionally, mentally, in a very gentle way. Yes.
And laysat biqahramana, they are not your maids, you know. You take work from them always. Yeah.
I just believe that if we can propagate only this saying, everyone would get attracted by Amir al-Mu'mineen and Islam.
And there is another saying from the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayru awladikum al-banat.
Beautiful.
You can imagine the era where Prophet and the Holy, Imam Ali alayhi salam, they were living. You know the role of women in that society, how much they were ignoring females, daughters.
Yeah.
It is very obvious. They would bury their daughters.
Yeah, they would bury them alive.
In that society, if someone says,
Ni'mal, I remember this hadith, Ni'mal waladi al-banat. Yeah, so the best among your children are your daughters.
Yeah.
And that is like a atom bomb in that time, because
that
it's a big blast, because people were just against of people's mentality.
Yeah, mentality.
For example, if something is really, really awful and disrespectful nowadays, and we say, no, that is like a diamond, you know, how can you are just ignoring that area of life? So it's really difficult for us to understand the situation of and the value of sayings of our Masumeen alayhi salam.
Definitely. And again, if we look at the reason why did the Holy Prophet say like this, or why did our Imams say like this, why did they give this much importance to daughters, we can understand that they are the center of our society, center of our family, you know. If they are full of energy, full of respect, they have, got all their needs properly, then in future they can inject that peace and love into their family, into their, you know, children and husband. And in result, we can have a very good and role model family.
I agree with you 1,000%. Yeah, I love it the way you said they are center of the society, and we have to fulfill their needs. You know, like sometimes I feel like if you have a manager of your company, so because the seat is very important, so you provide everything to that manager.
Yeah.
You say, you are running my company or my, you know, factory, so I have to fulfill all your desires.
All your desires, your security desires, your financial needs, your, you know, all the comforts which can divert your mind.
Now I can understand. Therefore, Islam has taken very easy, you know, about women. Yeah, like after, especially after marriage, she doesn't have that many, so many responsibilities. Like financially, she's free, you know, totally others are taking care of her. She doesn't have that much, you know, worries, and responsibilities. And also the house chore.
House chores.
It's amazing.
Regarding the managing the house also, you know, renting a house and buying the house appliances, and all these responsibilities lay on, you know, shoulders of husband
and
father.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Islam says she has to have a complete peaceful mind. Dear listeners, we will take a very short break. Inshallah, we'll come back soon.
Women in Imam Khomeini's idea.
God's mercy be upon these chaste bosoms that foster these lion-hearted youth. Imam Khomeini considers self-purification and knowledge as necessities by which women must adorn themselves with on account of their fostering role in the family. He believes that by bringing up spiritually refined children, both one's religion and worldly life will be safeguarded, and in addition, the prosperity of a nation is dependent upon the self-purification of its leaders. While giving a piece of advice to women, Imam Khomeini, he acknowledges that in raising children, they should not take their role lightly, because it is possible that the same single individual corrupts or reforms a society. He observes that a morally upright human being may educate an entire world, while a morally perverted or corrupt human being may pervert an entire world. Immorality and purity begin from your bosoms, from your training, and from the schools in which you are employed in.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will continue our conversation, inshallah, talking about the tarbiyah, the upbringing rules regarding our daughters.
Unfortunately, yeah. Practically, we are far away from the teaching of our amazing Prophet of Islam. And kindness, a prophet is taking it very positively. And I feel this is the very, very deep connection between Multifat and the beautiful attribute of Allah, Ya Latif.
Latif,
you know. Yes. So I feel this is a divine quality which wow. Allah has given and manifesting more in girls compared to boys.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And again, it shows the beautiful qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has manifested us, especially women, with so many qualities, you know, inner qualities and outer qualities, appearances and mentally also. So if we walk on this beautiful path of Islam and path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely we would not have all these problems which we are facing nowadays in our societies and in our family. So we are talking about the upbringing of our daughters.
Exactly. Yeah.
So during upbringing of our daughters, we have to be very careful, you know.
Okay.
If we upbring them physically, we give importance to only their looks and their beauty and their dresses and, you know, clothes. So we are upbringing a daughter which only will give importance to physical things, you know, in their society, in future. So we have to balance between this physical and materialistic upbringing and spiritual upbringing.
The topic is so interesting, yeah. But time is over. So inshallah, we are going to continue this topic in our further episode. Thank you so much for being with us. And inshallah, we are going to uplift our soul and our spirit with the teaching of Islam regarding Muslim lady.
And especially regarding the upbringing of our daughters.
Exactly.
Inshallah, we will continue in our next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, for Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us reflect on a wonderful maxim from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The wine drinker is like an idolater for his disobedience of God.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The light.
Norway's capital is once again the scene of a mesmerizing annual life festival. This year's Fjord Oslo Life Festival started on Friday and will run until Sunday. Numerous artists have had the opportunity to showcase their dazzling designs by lighting up important buildings in the Norwegian capital. This year's biggest installation is called The Abyss, which was inspired by animals living in the deep ocean. Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mazer X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully have a perform a first case PCR in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to four cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing two birds with one stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbuk Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back to millennia. Archaeologists have recovered six bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know? Because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well, and that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks, but here it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding the volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant wire ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear, he is a metaphor, he's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps, not all the problems because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam. Today, Wednesday, is the 4th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and listen to verses 7 to 8 of chapter Yusuf.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Laqad kana fi Yusuf wa ikhwatihi ayatun lis-sa'ilin.
Certainly were there in Joseph and his brothers signs for those who ask, such as
إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
When they said, Joseph and his brother are more beloved to our father than we, while we are a clan. Indeed, our father is in clear error.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
How does man's envy lead him to fratricide? The brothers of Yusuf threw him into the well in order to become dearer to their father, but they became hated. Doors were closed in order to pollute him with sin, but his chastity and innocence were well demonstrated in this trying circumstance. Neither did the well, servitude, prison, palace life, or any of these conspiracies exert the slightest influence on Allah's will.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Jealousy in the view of Islam. Envy or hasad in Arabic may occur as a result of enmity, pride, or self-admiration, love of leadership, or impurity of the soul. Of these, enmity is the most serious cause, as it leads to malevolence, and this in turn causes man to thirst for revenge and drives him to gloat over any calamity that may afflict his enemy. Envy is one of the deadliest diseases of the heart. And there is no medicine for the diseases of the heart except through knowledge and deeds. The knowledge that will treat the disease of envy is to know
without any doubt that envy is lethal for a person's worldly life as well as his religion. Additionally, the envier would share with Satan and the rest of the disbelievers a love for crisis to befall the believers and for blessings to leave them. These are evils in the heart that devour good deeds and erase them like the night erases the day. The person who suffers from envy in his life is tortured by it and will always be in sorrow every time he sees the blessings of Allah upon the envied person.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. One of the abominable characteristics, a moral characteristics, is jealousy. In order to suppress the feeling of jealousy, some other things should be done. At the same time, first of all, this person, the person, him or herself, should be determined to control him or herself in order not to feel jealous about others. And at the same time, those people who are around him, such as, for example, his family, or, for example, his teachers or mentors, and the whole social situation around him, should treat him in such a way not to trigger his sense of jealousy regarding others. In this connection, we find that sometimes jealousy leads to very critical situations. In the Holy Quran, we find that among the two sons of the Prophet Adam, Abel and Cain, killed Abel because of jealousy, because of feeling jealous. And we find that in the Holy Quran, it's indicated that we have to take refuge in the divine stronghold because of the effects of jealousy. At the same time, we find that in the conduct of the 15th infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, we find that once he indicated to some of his companions that he treats, some of his children in a special way in order that they wouldn't feel jealous about another one, the subsequent Imam, that is the 6th infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In order to prevent them from having such kind of feeling, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam treated all of them, quite respectfully, in order to prevent any kind of or any sense of jealousy to be developed in any of his children.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling. I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying. Lord, I'm calling. I need your help. Astaghfirullah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special, Steps to Overcoming Envy. One step is keeping your focus on your goals. You must first have goals in order to stay focused on them. Your goals don't have to be major accomplishments. They can start small and lead to bigger goals. If you want to lose weight, get healthy, become wealthy, go on vacation, and etc. Start off with writing a goal. Start with short-term goals such as exercise for 20 minutes daily, eat more homemade meals, and save up $1 a day. Then envision and write down your long-term goals such as lose more weight in 6 months, reduce need for medication, and have $20,000 in bank account. Keep the focus of your goals on increasing your happiness and making you a better person. Rather than impressing others, do things because you want to feel good, not because you feel bad about your life. I'm just thinking about harmful effects of jealousy. I think one of them is that jealousy burns all good deeds. Brothers and sisters, jealousy is discouraged in Islam. And this hadith, I want to tell you, states clearly that the jealousy factors can burn all the good deeds of a person. The hadith is this: beware of jealousy, for verily it destroys good deeds the way fire destroys wood. Jealousy turns a good person into an evil. Jealousy is such a dangerous disease that can turn a good person into evil. The same has happened to Iblis, Satan. When Allah ordered angels and Iblis to prostrate Adam in respect and honor, angels did the same as said by Allah, but Iblis directly refused the order because he was jealous of the status Allah has given to Adam.
Sometimes jealousy, this disease of the heart, it's much more severe and much more dangerous than a physical disease. Sometimes a person has heart disease, a person has cancer, a person has a diabetes, a sickness, only they are hurt and they're not hurting anyone else. But there are some diseases that the person who is jealous, they hurt themselves, because the hadith says that a jealous person will never be satisfied. The jealous person, every day he looks at that person, he's going to wish for the ni'mah of that person to be removed. It's going to cause harm to that person, and he's going to cause harm to himself. The person is always going to be distressed. The person is always going to be depressed. So this is why it's a dangerous disease. And it causes harm. Sometimes a jealous person, they go and they physically harm another person that they're jealous of. And other times, there is the evil eye, the hasad. The evil eye where you jinx another person. Now, some people, we say this is superstition, this is something that is hard to accept, it's hard to believe that it takes place, but it does take place. Now, I don't know what's the correlation between a person who is jealous and another person losing what they have, but this is something that happens. And Allah mentions it in the Quran. The evil eye, Allah mentions it in the Quran. With the kuffar, what they tried to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. The kuffar, they try to have you slip with their eyes. They look at Rasulullah in a way, with their jealousy, with their hatred towards Rasulullah, the hasad towards Rasulullah, that they want Rasulullah, something bad to happen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that does happen. Allah mentions it in the Quran, and Rasulullah speaks about it in the hadith. And the roots of this evil eye go back to jealousy.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.